Enrique.
Exciting as we begin another hour of the Good Day Weekend program. Dr. Ken is gone, and Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru, said he and Doug. I just had a mouthful of honey. You know what that does? Do you take honey every day? I think you and I have talked about it.
I don't.
You?
But
really?
But, yeah. No. But the interesting evolution of the White House garden is, it turns out that there was a carpenter who worked at the White House, who just retired after maybe 27 or 30 years. And he actually was a beekeeper. So he actually brought his beehive to the White House.
Really?
So now part of the White House garden is this beehive. I think, I could be wrong, but it's about 400 bees.
Yeah.
It's actually produced already over 200 pounds of honey.
Cool.
And it's cross-pollinating all the, you know, fruits and vegetables.
Are they trained Democratic bees so they sting Republicans only?
No, I don't think so.
No.
But it was very interesting because I got up, there's bees all over the place, obviously, but I got up probably to about 2 feet of it. They could care less about me.
Really?
Oh,
I noticed
that,
too. I have bee stands, I think they call them, in a number of the fields where I plant corn or we harvest hay. And pretty interesting to see what their actions are. As long as you don't bother them, they don't bother you. And there's so many people who are just so afraid. They teach their children to be afraid of things like this. And there's a whole school of education here. The difference between bees and honeybees and queen bees and yellow jackets and wasps and all these other things. Clearly, honeybees are here to help. And without them, we wouldn't have any food. People don't realize that, I don't think.
Absolutely. And in fact, one of the things I wanted to do, and I have not been able to do this, but I wanted to go into a supermarket and remove every product off the shelves that contains honey.
Right.
Then take a photo, or I guess a video, of the entire store. Because truthfully, about a third of the products have honey, so that you could really show the impact. If we lose the honeybees, if we lose honey production, what this is going to mean for us.
Yeah. And we'd be very surprised you'd tell us that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru, is here. Supermarketguru.com is his website. We have a lot of things to cover, a lot of ground to cover, as is usual. The effect of bread on us and Mayor Bloomberg's move to get us away from the big Slurpees, among other things. But we also have some interesting conversation later on in the hour with whom?
Well, we're actually going to be talking about the soda ban, and we have someone who's going to talk to us from the National Center for Public Policy Research, Jeff Steyer, who actually lives in Manhattan, who thinks that this is the most absurd thing ever. Now, I've got to tell you, I have very mixed feelings about this, because if you take a look at the research that's out there about the plate size, about, you know, wearing, I just interviewed somebody from Japan that has come up with glasses that you put on and the size of your food looks bigger. And the reason that it's important is the plate doesn't look bigger, your hand doesn't look big, it's just the food itself that looks bigger. And what they find is when people wear these and they eat, they actually eat less. So while I don't like the idea of, you know, regulating the size of soda, there's some truth behind this, too. So we're going to talk to Jeff and we're going to argue with him about that.
I'm with you. I'm not really conflicted. I think Bloomberg is the best mayor, the best politician.
Oh,
I wish he were the president, frankly. Having said that, sometimes some will think that he's gone off on the deep end. However, as with the smoking ban, if people get used to it and say, this makes a lot of sense, look at how much cleaner the sidewalks are, how much cleaner the city is, but how much better your health is. And in this circumstance, we have so much discussion about the obesity epidemic. So many people are focused on it in so many different ways. why not have this discussion? I mean, sure, people laugh and say, okay, I'm going to have two 16-ounce Slurpees instead of a 32-ounce Slurpee. All right, but the point is it's a discussion. And so maybe the mayor wants to limit big drinks, junk food in general. We have these discussions all the time about people choosing to eat food. I'm talking like feed, like I'm feeding my cows. But, you know, if you're buying cheap stuff at the place where they prepare, they have to make money. And so this business about you can only afford cheap food is nonsense.
Correct. And in fact, the USDA, you know, just came out with this report that looked at, you know, the price of fruits and vegetables versus processed food.
Yeah.
And really disputed this whole point that people keep on trying to make that healthier food is more expensive. It's not.
Not at all.
You know, when you look at the density of nutrients, if you look at how well it fills you up, how well it satisfies you. Mm. So we just need to get off that because, you know, it's a great...
If you're in a hurry, both Phil and I, we got to get Trader Joe's as sponsors because you and I both think they're great. Mm-hmm. You go to a Trader Joe's, and you find the prepared foods, the prepared foods. And if you need to be fixing something in a hurry, then you take that home. And you don't have to get in your car and drive to the restaurant, which costs you money. Mm-hmm. Plus the fact that you've got something that's really good. The stuff that's at Trader Joe's in the main is superb. And so, you know, I mean, but the best thing to do is to go, especially at this time of year, the best thing to do is start seeking out the fresh grower of produce in your area and make it a point to be going to farmers' gardens, farmers' markets that are starting up around much of the country, through the central part of our country, the Midwest, upper Midwest, Northeast. These things are now everywhere because there's a lot of stuff that's ready to pick and sell and for you to eat. So anyway, 800-510-8255. Who wants to talk about the mayor's proposal to limit big drinks? Who wants to talk about healthy food and junk food? Who wants to take responsibility for what you're eating? Hello? 800-510-8255. Excuse me.
That's okay. I just wanted to add one other thing to add to the discussion is that what happened this week was significant because we've all heard for probably the past 6 months how the Corn Refiners Association was lobbying the USDA to change the regulation, to change the name of high fructose corn syrup to just corn sugar. And everybody laughed hysterically saying, you know, nobody's going to be fooled by this, everything else. And corn refiners spent tens of millions of dollars on this. And this week, USDA sent them packing home, saying, there's no way we're going to change the name. It is high fructose corn syrup. What do you think you're doing? And how stupid do you think we are or the consumer is?
You know,
so good for us. We won.
In defense of the corn, the individual farmer, the family farmer who's raising corn and beans and that sort of thing, there are plenty of markets for corn products. You know, we've had this these people moaning and groaning about ethanol and using corn as you know, the basic food for but basically they are stills. An ethanol plant is a still. You bring in the mash and create a product that you put in. It's an alcohol. Put it in the gasoline, makes it go further. And there are plenty of markets for that. So there's no time to feel sorry. The people who are farmers growing grains are not having a bad time. It's the dairy people that are having a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of this information always covered at Phil's Hits and Misses at supermarketguru.com. I read a story this week about a woman named Jill Litwin. Do you know her? Litwin.
No.
She's
no.
the founder of a healthy frozen food company. I was just thinking we ought to maybe try to get her. She's come up with the idea. The company's called Peas of Mind, P-E-A-S of Mind.
Right.
It's been a couple of years, and she's a hardworking small business owner. She's got her hands full for sure. This is a company that makes products that you would probably find in a Trader Joe's. And I just think she's she's done a good job at a couple of things, building the business up and understanding what people are really desirous of. And there are a lot of these little companies. I think that was the thing that was in my mind when I saw what she's doing. There are a lot of these little companies that are getting over the, I suppose, what would you call the breaking point, getting investors to come in. And I mean, this is a woman who started. She kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you listen to us on Mondays when we have Pam Popper on, who runs the Wellness Forum in Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. She has a kitchen herself, and she's creating meals for folks who are on the run, and she does it in this great big, she has a kitchen facility, but it's all, everything organic and holistic, and those are the principles that are taken, whether you're making a full meal or sandwiches or desserts or whatever it is. And she could be five times bigger than she is because there's that much demand, because once, as we were saying a few minutes ago, you understand that this stuff isn't more expensive, then people are excited about it.
Well, yes, absolutely. But, you know.
Yes and no.
No. I'm looking at Peace of Mind website and so on.
Yeah.
And, you know, these products are terrific. Basically, what she's doing is she has four products, adding more vegetables in it. For example, one of the products is Dunkable Veggie Bites.
Yum.
So it's pull apart veggies made with pieces of veggie dough made with broccoli and carrots kneaded in. It's two flavors, pizza and natto. But, you know, if you take a look, you know, two of these is 170 calories.
Yeah, okay.
Only 3 grams of fat. Yeah. It does have 7 grams of protein, but this is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be more expensive.
Right. But there are people who can afford it, so you give them the option.
Absolutely.
We have people that maybe want a little variety. If you want basic stuff, you can find it inexpensively. If you want something that's really prepared and different, then you do what this woman's doing.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Go to Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Unless we can get her as a sponsor.
Exactly. No, so, but to your point, you know, I think we are seeing a lot more innovation coming from smaller companies that are pulling together great recipes that are healthy, that are tasty. Mm-hmm. Gone are the days of, you know, companies like Procter & Gamble making a product that's in everybody's home.
Yeah.
We just don't consume that way anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing.
Yep. The obesity situation is, I think, really forcing us to be more fussy about what we're eating, too. And so we'll spend a little time, take a few calls on this, 800-510-8255. There are all kinds of different connections. There's an interesting chemical that's been written, again, because Bloomberg's jumped on this thing. There are going to be all kinds of, this weekend on the talk shows, you can be sure, and in the special supplement section of your Sunday paper, there'll be all kinds of examinations. Bloomberg's like that, the lightning rod, to get people to think and to talk about obesity, at least to diabetes. What does it do to your organs when you're having all that sugar in your system? You know, all of that stuff is important to the discussion. So let's have it. 800-510-8255. Phil Lemper, the supermarket guru here with Doug Steffen on the Good Day Weekend program.
If your car's air conditioning isn't blowing cold air,
it isn't.
Then you need an AC Pro.
Is there one around here?
Yeah.
You.
Me?
But I can't.
New do-it-yourself AC Pro is a 10-minute cold air solution. It's fast, easy, and saves you money. With AC Pro, you'll have cold air blowing again in just minutes. Guaranteed.
Wow, it's freezing in here, and I did it myself.
See? You are an AC Pro.
Yes, I am.
New AC Pro, the 10-minute do-it-yourself auto AC cold air solution.
Phil went to the White House this week. We'll talk about that, his story, coming up here on the Good Day Weekend program.
Would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, So I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Attention, mindless criminals, thugs, and thieves. Go ahead, break a leg. American homeowners are fed up with your door kick-ins and forced entries. We now dare you to try your boot against any door reinforced with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel pack includes a steel door jam plate with 3.5-inch screws, a lock shield, and hinge shields. The Door Sentinel installs in minutes, securing any front, side, or back doors, even French doors. Criminals, be forewarned, your leg will break before the Door Sentinel will budge. Even if you have an alarm system, back it up with the Door Sentinel. Basic products starting under $20. Order your Door Sentinel today for your home, garage, or any building you own or rent at MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com or call 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Get your peace of mind back with Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel. Always on guard.
Talking about what you eat and where you get it. The supermarket guru is the national expert. Phil Lempert was at the White House this week, and you were with the First Lady a couple of weeks ago in Texas at an event. So you're seeing things the government is wanting to. See, this is it. They have the bully pulpit, and they can use it well to influence public policy. In this case, the epidemic, obesity, let's eat more healthy food, all of that sort of thing. So even, I mean, if you don't like the current residents, it's hard not to buy into this message.
Absolutely. And my fear is if, in fact, there is a change of administration, that the Let's Move program, that the White House Garden, that all these things go away. And that would be, you know, a terrible shame.
All right, so then you and I should get through. If there is a change in administration, you and I will volunteer to take care of the garden. Let's do that. Want to?
Well, yeah, but you have to take care of it there.
Oh.
You can't, like, move it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, what they have is they actually have different kids coming in and planting crops, and then they watch them, and then they come back to harvest them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really a cool idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea. Yeah. Consciousness is important here. No question about it. All right. 800-510-8255. We're talking about the move to limit the size of drinks that are sugary and sweet and food that's sugary and sweet. Here's a Damon in Maryland.
I just wanted to say I think it's a false premise that to eat healthy costs more. In fact, buying the unpackaged or foods that you need to prepare are often much healthier and more less expensive. But the government has a conflict of interest because it subsidizes a lot of agriculture industries that of foods that aren't necessarily healthy.
You know, that's an interesting point, Phil. The government, the farm bill that's just been passed through committee and now is going to be worked up in the House and the Senate, spends billions and billions and billions of dollars propping up these big agribusinesses that don't need to be propped up and supporting things that are, as this gentleman is suggesting, are not necessarily healthy.
Right. But keep in mind that the standards for the farm bill were set, what was it, 60, 70 years
after
ago.
After the Depression.
Yeah.
They haven't been changed. They need to be changed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just keep on passing it and passing it. And at the time when it put in, they did need corn subsidies. They did need wheat subsidies and so on, but we don't today. And somebody, it's just, whether it's Social Security, whether it's Farm Bill and so on, these initiatives are so big and so cumbersome that really the way to do it is you've got to blow them up and then
start
all over again.
Zero-based budgeting.
Yep.
That's what it is, zero-based budgeting. All right, Randy in Virginia up next here on Good Day Weekend.
I hear a lot of people, you know, that are complaining that it's the government's fault that people are getting fat. But, I mean, I question, you know, how many people are going to McDonald's and ordering, you know, a supersized meal, or at the gas station and they get the king-size candy bar or whatnot. I mean, when it comes down to it, it's on the individual. You know, you can't blame the government for you going out and making personal decisions to, you know, to eat stuff that you shouldn't. I mean, you should understand what's in the foods that you're eating. You know, I spend maybe $180 a week for a family of three, and we buy mostly healthy food. I mean, you know, we might throw in something that's not that great, but again, that's my decision. It's not the government's decision to say, hey, we want you to buy, you know, this crap food that's loaded with preservatives. I mean, I have no doubt that some foods are loaded with preservatives, but it's on the individual to find out what's in that food that I'm eating. And it's not that difficult. I mean, Google it. You know, there's a lot of information on the back of boxes. You just got to understand, you know, what you're eating, and you can't blame that on the government.
All right, Phil, I don't know that we're blaming it on the government. The government's sometimes they stick their nose into too much stuff. I think we're pretty focused on the individual here, aren't we?
Yes, and also, to be fair, and you know, I don't want to get on a rampage here, but $180 a week for a family of three, that's a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
That, in some cases, is more than a lot of people are making in this country. So it's fine, you know, to say, okay, yeah, read the label, do this, Google, stuff like that. But you're spending $180 a week to feed a family of three. I'm sorry, that's a lot of money and out of reach for most Americans these days.
800-510-8255. John in North Carolina wants to be heard as well.
My thoughts are very simple. You know, I agree with all the people that are saying that it's really none of the government's business to tell people what they can and cannot eat. I fully agree, especially at the federal level. However, I also agree, because many of these same people that don't want the government telling them what they can and cannot eat, if they get sick, when they get diabetes, when they get heart disease, when they get cancer, when they get all these different things, expect the government to come in and take care of their health needs when that happens.
Yeah, and therein lies the problem. That's a big conundrum. It really is. All right, so we're going to continue with this thread and a specific focus on the soda ban that has been proposed by Mayor Bloomberg. Is it the answer to obesity? David Almasi from the National Center for Public Policy Research up next with Phil Lippert and Doug Steffen on Good Day Weekend.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network. Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
We take a lot for granted. Lights, water, even food we eat. But what if these things went away? Would you know how to protect your family in a natural or man-made disaster? Would you know how to survive? When disaster hits, power and water are gone and the mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, you and your family may be waiting in long lines for help. Don't be helpless. Learn the secrets to survival at 123survivalplan.com. Do you know the 37 crucial food items you can't live without? Many people don't have these food items. Learn what you need to hoard at 123survivalplan.com. Recently, over 1 million people have viewed the video at 123survivalplan.com. These survival secrets are vital. The government suggests we maintain an emergency supply of food and water. But do you know the 37 food items that will fly off grocery shelves or a simple way to treat unsafe drinking water? This information is critical. Find it now on 123survivalplan.com. Don't take your family's safety for granted. Visit 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com.
After the hour, get together every weekend that you can count on. Discussion of food, where to get it, things that you eat, what may or may not be good for you. Phil Lempert is the supermarket guru. He studies this all the time. You can sign up for the supermarketguru.com's daily news flash by going, strangely enough, to supermarketguru.com. There we go.
What a concept.
It is a concept. All right, so let's have you and David Almasi, who's Executive Director of the National Center for Public Policy Research, talk about the soda ban. And if I think that you're in need of help, Phil, I'll be happy to jump in.
Well, we want you to be part of this. Well, David, welcome to Good Day.
Thanks for having me on.
And, you know, we want to give our listeners really an overarching look at what Mayor Bloomberg is proposing. So before we get into whether it's right or wrong from a political standpoint, let's talk about what is he actually proposing and where does it stand as of now?
Okay, well, where it stands right now is it's his idea. He'd like to have it go into effect sometime between now and next March, but right now it's his proposal and a regulator has not actually started to write out what actually will happen. But Mayor Bloomberg has had a long-standing feud with soda products. And in the past, he tried to tax them, and the state lawmakers said, no, you can't do that. Then he tried to limit them from being able to buy them with food stamps, and the feds said, no, you can't do that. And now he's got the deck stacked in his favor because he's using his city Department of Health, or Board of Health, which he appointed all the members of, and he had the chairman of at his press conference the other day. So this is something he can do, and I assume that whatever he is saying he wants to do, he will be able to do. And what that would be is to limit certain sugary beverages from being served above 16 ounces at a time. But there are so many loopholes in the proposal because I believe the Board of Health is probably so limited in their power that you could drive a New York City bus through them, and it's not going to do anything, in my opinion, to stop people from having any sugary beverages that they want. It's just going to hurt small businesses and restaurants and things like that.
Well, why would it hurt small businesses and restaurants?
the way it is now is, and this is the biggest loophole of them all, is that convenience stores and grocery stores are not going to be affected by this proposed regulation. And lots of people were calling this, or are calling this, the big gulp ban. And that's the furthest from the truth, because 7-Eleven is not going to be affected. 7-Eleven, the day after this goes into effect, could announce that they're now selling the Bloomberg Gutbuster 80-ounce soda that you can go in and get with double the sugar. What it's going to do is it's going to stop the restaurant, it's going to stop movie theaters, sports arenas, and sidewalk vendors from being able to sell over 16 ounces. So it's unfortunately for the whole concept, it's only going to scratch the surface. And in the case of, like, movie theaters, that's where a movie theater owner makes his money. The movie studios take the ticket money for the most part. I think the same happens with sports arenas and that, and of course the small businessman on the street corner with a hot dog cart. I mean, they need every sale they can get to keep in business.
Well, but in all fairness, I mean, the guy with the hot dog cart is selling a 16-ounce can of soda. They're not selling a 64-ounce. They don't have a fountain there and so on.
That's true.
Now let me just go back before we debate, and I really do want to debate whether or not the government has the right to limit it. But before we get there, isn't what he's trying to do really the right thing? By we know that even if you look at the dietary guidelines that came out, you know, the government said, you know, avoid sugary beverages. First time they ever said that. Obviously, Coke and Pepsi sales are declining. We're seeing a lot more research out there that says soda is a bad thing. And we also look at the research, a lot of it coming out of Grand Lab at Cornell, saying that the size of the plate, the size of the glass, the size does have an impact on how much we consume. So in his heart, isn't he doing the right thing?
In his heart, maybe he is doing the right thing in his mind, but in practice, he's not doing the right thing at all. He's demonizing a product, and he's not...
He's demonizing a product because it's a demonic product. If sugary drinks, people...
It's a legal product, though.
Well, it's a...
Yeah,
so is tobacco. So is alcohol. You think those are good for you? I mean, there's a certain amount of education that's involved here, and probably we'd rather go down that street than to have people force us into doing something that makes sense.
We know tobacco's bad. We know sugary beverages are bad, but they are legal, and the best thing to do is deal with them in moderation. And by creating a prohibition, prohibition against alcohol.
Under the circumstances, what happens is what's happening, and this is good for you, and it's good for us, it's good for everybody listening. A national debate and discussion about this ongoing problem of health care in general and how we are killing ourselves because of choices that are made, and in many cases the choices are made because the quote-unquote education that comes through advertising is not as good as the education that comes from people being able to study these sorts of things in school, because the government has defeated its own purpose here by cutting programs that would help, in certainly the case of health education, students understand what it is they're doing to their bodies when they fill it up with this crap.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with educating people about sodas and sugary drinks, but I don't think having an outright ban is the way you're going to stop it from being used. I mean, to some degree, it's going to perversely glamorize it. And like I made the joke about the 80-ounce Bloomberg Gutbuster at 7-Eleven, how many people will be turned on to sugary beverages because they want to stick it to this guy that's trying to take it away from them?
Okay. I don't think that that's going to happen, number one. I don't think that we're going to see a whole bunch of people go out there and start consuming a lot of soda because they don't like Bloomberg. Okay, that, I think, is pushing the envelope a little too far.
Human nature. I think there's more people
likely to
rebel
than to jump on board. The past 40 years that America is getting fatter, that we eat garbage, that we're eating the wrong things and so on, and we've tried. We've tried to educate. We've tried to empower. We've done all this. And what's happening? Waistlines are getting bigger, more heart disease, more diabetes. So we don't know how to educate and empower. We don't. We've been trying it.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't. So,
but you can't, this kind of ban that Bloomberg is trying to bully on the people of New York is not the way you're going to do it, because he's doing it all the wrong ways. And
well,
he's got loopholes in it that it's not going to be effective. It's just going to, like I said.
Fat. Look at what he did with trans fat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes, he banned it. But
yeah,
he banned it citywide. With sugary drinks, you can't. He's got it that you can, like, the example with restaurants is if the soda fountain is on the other side of the cashier stand, if it's in the dining room, there's nothing he can do about it. People can go up and get as many 16-ounce servings of a sugary beverage as they can. And also, they can have as much diet soda as they want to. So let's forget about the whole idea that this is about good health, because you're telling people one kind of soda is okay, but the other kind of soda is not okay.
So
that doesn't wash, in my opinion.
Should we then say that regardless of where soda is served or sold, 16-ounce limit? Would you be happy with that?
No, I wouldn't, because it's not going to work. Because you're not going to go tell the grocery store that they can only sell one can of Coke at a time. They sell
a six pack or whatever, 16 ounces, not the 64-ounce bottles. Why not?
Because you're limiting consumer choice. I bought a 16-ounce soda yesterday morning, and I didn't mean this as an experiment, but I noticed as I went throughout the day, it took me 4 hours to drink that 16-ounce soda. And that's the way people should be doing it. I think they should be given the opportunity. And to have the city come down and say, okay, you can only buy 16 ounces there, but you can buy 32 ounces there, and you can buy 40 ounces there, and you can buy a case down the street, that's not going to help anybody. That's just going to create a controversy, and like I said, it's going to glamorize it to a degree where people are going to, it's going to create a prohibition kind of mentality.
Well, I'm an anarchist, and I don't like government at all. I will tell you that. But I like Bloomberg. I think he's the best and smartest politician and manager in this country, without exception, no matter whether you're talking about mayors, governors, presidents, whoever you put in the category. Bloomberg outshines them all, because he's smart, and he doesn't he's not beholden to anybody. And it gets people to think, whether this goes on or it doesn't go on, the fact that we're talking about it and giving people a reason to think. I mean, I thought it was interesting, by the way, we're talking to David Almasi, who's the executive director of the National Center for Public Policy Research, about the soda ban idea. That you took 4 hours. That thing must have tasted like crap by the time you get finished with it.
No, it wasn't too bad.
It was funny because
I didn't realize it at the time. It's like, wow, you know, we've been discussing this, and like it's been 4 hours. It was still not. It wasn't flat yet. It wasn't too warm yet. Then it was fine. And that's
so
the way
that
I think that if
what
you really want to enjoy soda and you don't want to worry about the health effects, that's the slow, moderate approach to enjoying it.
Hmm. I just want to make one obnoxious comment.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it still had bubbles after 4 hours, that should tell you something.
Okay.
All right. David, good conversation. Stimulating. Thank you for being here. David Almasi, Executive Director of the National Center for Public Policy Research. The soda ban. Remember when they used to call people that serve this stuff soda jerks?
Yep.
Maybe there's something to that.
Now we call the people who consume it
soda jerks.
I like an occasional soda myself.
Yeah, I know.
I probably have, you know, a soda once a month.
You know what? I'm just thinking about this. The last time I had a soda was sitting in that restaurant with you and your wife in Santa Monica, which was, last winter?
Yep.
That was the last time I had a Sprite. That was the last time I had a soda.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not an evil product, but what we know
is
that it just is not being consumed properly. And again, I would suggest that, you know, the average person is not going to sit there and have one 16-ounce soda over 4 hours, period. They're going to drink, you know, 64 ounces in about 10 minutes.
You know what this brings to the surface, though, Phil? What it really does is have, when you come around to finding the bottom line in a situation like this. The bottom line is that we would be so much, we don't even address the real problem. All the discussion and the finagling, the political nonsense and chicanery that went on during the discussion of Obamacare, and now we're going to go to the Supreme Court and find out whether it's legal or not. It doesn't get to the root of the problem. It helps people who are making money, whether it be the healthcare providers, insurance companies, all these people that are making money off of your illness, off of your sickness, off of your back. It doesn't prevent. I railed about this until finally one congressman said, well, I finally found you $40 million in here that's aimed at prevention. Do you realize how in this thing that's a multi-billion, jillion dollar deal, that we're not talking about helping people so that they don't get into this state of illness and that they learn to care for themselves in a way that purely is based on education, because there's no money in it. That's how cynical and sinister this whole thing is. And so to not address prevention in a big, big, gigantic way is folly. And that's it shows you the facetiousness of this whole thing. And you know what? These sugary drinks, you were talking about the corn fructose whatzes earlier on. All of these things are deadly. They taste good? Yeah. But do you think about what you are putting into your mouths? And you know what? If you don't, that's fine because you have individual choice. But don't come back to me and to Phil and expect us through our taxes to pay to take care of you after you've screwed yourself. I'm sorry. That doesn't work. It isn't proper. And so you say, well, what are we supposed to do? Use your head. And if you don't have any common sense, then at least be inquisitive enough to find out what it is that you're doing to your body or you're doing to your allowing your children to do to their bodies by believing all these stupid ads. I mean, I'm in the advertising business. That's how I make my living. But I will tell you, not every ad for all these products that especially the younger children want is good. As a matter of fact, most of them are pretty doggone bad. And not only do they lead to problems in later life, well, I'm really on a roll, the problems that we have in school with kids bouncing off the wall, 9 times out of 10, doesn't get fixed by them taking drugs, which seems to be another problem that we're having over and over again in our society. It's fixed by eating the right foods. You don't send kids off to school after they've had a big bowl of sugar, and that's what those cereals for the most part are.
Absolutely. And if you take a look, I mean, the data is out there. For example, I just brought up the Framingham Heart Study, which is the longest study, over 60,000 people. So men and women who had one or more soft drinks a day were 25% more likely to have developed trouble managing blood sugar and nearly 50% more likely to have developed metabolic syndrome, which is high blood pressure, high insulin level, excess weight, especially around the abdomen, high levels of triglycerides, low levels of HDL, one step short of full-blown diabetes, and boost the odds of developing heart disease.
Yeah. And that's the study in my hometown of Framingham. I didn't participate in it, but much of the town has 60,000 people over the course of about 45, 50 years. This thing's been going on, and it's shown all kinds of things, including what you just suggested. It's mindless. It's foolish. But you always tell me that the most popular aisle in the supermarket is the aisle they sell this junk. It's 10
number
before
one
the hour.
Product. Number one product in supermarkets is Coca-Cola.
Picture a moment between a young Marine in dress blues with his daughter in a pink dress at a table set for tea. The caption, just coming home off a 14-month deployment in Afghanistan, he is tough enough to be one of the few, the proud, but gentle enough to play tea party. I'm Risa Jill Miller. The photo submitted by the Marine's wife, Victoria, of Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, won the Smucker's Uncrustables Unstoppable Family Photo Contest. Mary Beth Botticher, Vice President, Corporate Communications, the J.M. Smucker Company.
Victoria's family never stops, and just like busy families everywhere, they can count on Smucker's Uncrustables for a delicious, convenient sandwich to take on the run. We're honored to have a part in creating special moments like these every day.
Uncrustable sandwiches are portable and easy to grab on the go, so families can make the best of their time together. As grand prize winner, Victoria wins a $10,000 trip to Yosemite National Park. For more, visit Uncrustables.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The summer specials are on at HHA, Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Connexin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course. Information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Hey, dog, where's your owner?
Watching Netflix.
Yeah?
He can instantly watch as many TV episodes and movies as he wants online.
Well, I know what you did on my lawn, and it's not funny.
It is to kids.
Well, what are their parents supposed to laugh at?
The sophisticated jokes. You know, like, that dog chasing his tail reminds me of politicians.
Instantly watch as many TV episodes and movies as your family wants on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
Hey, hey. Good looking. What you got cooking?
Six minutes before the hour now on the Good Day Weekend program. Phil Lemper, the supermarket guru, is cooking up something for you. Maybe a little bit of bread. Bread is actually wonderful. You just made a statement about the supermarket aisle with Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, all these rot-gut drinks that we've been talking about. That's the most popular place in the supermarket to go. Okay, so let's go over to the bread areas and how people know what to buy. Because there's lots of bread that comes in from various sources. And then there are a lot of breads that seem to be made kind of for the store. And that along with other pastries. What do you recommend when you are getting questions from people at supermarketguru.com about breads in the supermarket? What's your advice? What do people look for?
Well, clearly, the most important thing to do is to read the ingredients. We talked about high fructose corn syrup before, and most breads actually contain either high fructose corn syrup or other sugars because it's used as a browning agent because we want our bread to have a nice crust to it or something. Yeah. So that's the sugar that's in it. But keep in mind, even when you see this beautiful bakery in a store, look to see where the ovens are. Look to see if they've got a big mixing bowl. Because I'll tell you why. Most of the breads that come into that bakery, if you would, are frozen. So basically, all that the store does is they slack it off, and they might put it in, you know, in an oven or in a proofing box to prepare it. They're not baking it from scratch. So you really want to look very carefully. If there's no mixing bowl, you know, one of these giant mixers, guess what? They're not making their own bread.
Really? So what do you buy? What does Laura and Phil buy for bread to use in dunking in soups or with cheeses or with sandwiches? What do you buy?
Well, I'll tell you, we don't buy bread all that often. We're not big bread consumers.
Right. Is bread bad for you? People will tell you that bread puts weight on.
Yeah, I think that anything to excess is bad. I think that, you know, if you're going to have bread, you should have a whole grain bread. The darker the bread, the better, the more nutrients with it. I would say the only time we eat bread is at a restaurant, and it has to be a really nice, crusty, or, you know, tasty piece of bread. Otherwise, I'm not going to waste my time with it.
Really? I had some with a little soup the other day, picked up at Panera.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, does a very, I think, for what they are, I think they do a great, very, really very good job.
Yep.
And the breads are fresh and tasty. I am a bread person. I like it, and it bothers me because I don't eat it much in the summertime, and you can certainly see between that and all the work I do on the farm, my weight goes way down 10, 12, 14 pounds pretty quickly. And when I'm in Santa Monica with you and my children during the wintertime, when I'm much more social, I always have bread, and I lust for bread. I want a piece of, you know, some kind of really tasty bread. When I'm sitting in the plane, they ask us if we want bagels or those sourdough biscuits that are baked on the plane. I'm for the sourdough biscuits.
No, those are the worst breads that are
out
there.
I love that stuff. Oh, my God. Of course, it's terrible for you. But so what, you take the bagels?
No, I don't take any bread on planes.
You don't take any of the bread. Okay.
No. Right.
Well, listen, you're a better man than me, which we've proven many times.
No, but I just don't want their bread.
No.
They can keep their bread.
Well, it seems to be a social thing as to the kinds of breads that you eat. You know those big, long breads you get people in the, you know, this time of year. Folks are having these outdoor wine and cheese tasting parties. Mm-hmm. They got these big, long loaves of bread that some French guy baked someplace. It's always a French guy. Did you notice that? Always Marcel from the Paille Bakery. He's the one who bakes those breads.
Marcel. Well, his real name is Mikey.
Fred, probably.
No, right. Mikey. It's not Marcel.
All right, so anyway, a sense of foods. Phil says, stay away from breads. Real bread can be transformative in a meal.
Yes.
The whole wheat stuff is good. It's, I don't know, it's just something about, it's, maybe there's a, I don't know, sexual thing attached to it. Who knows? All right, that's enough. TheSupermarketGuru.com is Phil Lempert. Get his hits and misses delivered straight to your inbox. Get your email address at TheSupermarketGuru.com's website. Phil Lempert with Doug Steffen at 59 After on Good Day Weekend.